rates out there. We did not hit a decibel level more than 57.2. Having said that, we received two complaints from the north side of the rock. So I invited one of the neighbors just to come up and, you know, help me think through it, because although we're not hitting decibel levels, I mean, it's a very emotional thing. So we'll continue to do our best to try to work with the neighbors, but the sound check seemed to pass. So with that as just a backdrop, again, very tactical stuff. I mean, you know, that's just the, that's just where we're at right now. We're just trying to get the stadium open. That's where everybody's focus is.
Sandy, did you get an email regarding the sound check testing and that? Because I didn't. That wasn't forwarded to myself and the licensing committee members. So has that been done? Here's a mic.
I received it from Scott Johnson, and I sent it to him.
No, I didn't see it. I mean, as long as you have it, but sometimes it hasn't been sent to us.
Alderman Taylor, we have on our on our website, one of our conditions with county was to allow for people to make complaints through our website. That's established right now. They can do that. So I don't know if we do a link from the city site, but the complaints that we did receive did not come vis-a-vis that website. It was Facebook.
I just know that there was always an email, for the most part. I mean, I think Scott always sent it, but there was an email that had the different times and the different locations and tests, and then there was any parking updates of that. And I don't recall seeing that.
You all might want to check your email, but Alderman Mayor acknowledged that he received
right.
it, and I did not just send it to him. So.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I did receive it. I can't say for anybody else. I did receive it.
Okay. Well, that's good.
And the containers?
Was that a question?
There's a question mark at the end of the period. Yes.
What about, I know your staff went out and did the on-site inspection. So those are coming. Is it next week or the week after? Yeah. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I know this item is going to be brought up later for licensing, but, you know, let's just air it out there
sure.
about the fireworks issue, because we've gotten emails on that. So. Just for the council, when it comes to licensing, the license committee was recommending the seven events that you requested, and it's a Monday, Thursday, Friday, 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 Saturday, Saturday, and we were requesting that only Fridays and Saturdays for the opening weeks. The opening week, so that would be the only day you could do Monday, Tuesday, the 24th, and the 27th. All the rest of them have to be on weekends, and then you have your times, and that we were told by your rep who came to the meeting that no events would happen after 10:30. So if a game runs over and you don't get your fireworks in, he had told us that they would cancel the fireworks, and so we were kind of wondering about notification and how you would let people know that, if you were going to put signage was one of my questions, or if you had a way to let people know, because I think that would go helpful with the late night fireworks concerns, noise concerns.
So I haven't followed up with my representative yet on how we'll administer that. Is that a demand of the city that if the game goes to, let's say, 10:35, that we're not allowed to.
That was offered up right away that they would not go beyond the 10:30 for the times.
Okay.
They thought that most of them would be able to make that problem. The other was the location. Launch area was changed per fire code, so Mr. Dietlin made that comment about that, and the fire code recommends it being in a different location, so that is what's going to be in place. So it won't be up closer to the bathroom.
I was informed on that one. Yeah, that one's completely comfortable. That one. So, but we'll give some thought to how we communicate to everybody in terms of managing expectations.
I'm wondering if we need, if you need to notify when they're canceled, because canceled, what? So
that wasn't what the, that was not the discussion, Your Honor, if I may clear.
I'm not sure what the notification is for other than the publicity of the nature of approval.
No, I don't know. I didn't know you could read my mind, Your Honor.
Close.
Yeah, well, sometimes, I mean, especially on a certain couple individuals, absolutely. No, I think the thing was, is, you know, communicating to patrons of the game that if at a certain time limit there will not be fireworks. So if there is a postponement of, you know, like the game didn't start till 8:30, then they shouldn't be expecting fireworks. And I, you know, because for a PR thing for those that attend, another thing that we discussed at licensing is, if there's a rain out, why not have a different day selected to make up for that? But what would have to happen is your representative would have to file another application, which nothing would change, and we could pick certain makeup days in advance. So if you're promising the residents and your season ticket holders that they're going to get seven games, you'll get seven games, just different dates later on. I think that's what I think the notification was, that somewhere in writing, whether it's on the website with an asterisk regarding, you know, city policy, 10:30, so they know in advance, or even like some major league stadiums have written rules, like, you know, when you walk in, something
sure.
So you don't, so it's not egg on your face, you know, you're always going to have someone upset, and you guys can handle that. But
no, I think that's a great idea, a terrific idea. Well, just a quick question, and if we offered it up, we'll own that, but what does the city do? Because you guys do, you're doing two fireworks this year for the 4th of July, I believe. What happens, for, what's your policy on that?
They go off at 9:30 and we only buy 20 minutes.
Right, if it's, but I'm just saying if it's weather delay or it's, you, would you play?
We're just picking up night.
Okay. Well, yeah, no, I'm just suggesting if there's already, you can do whatever you want, I get it. I was just saying if there's a policy in place, we could just adopt that, but I hear you loud.
Yeah, so I think what,
I that would be Alderman Taylor's committee, I don't know.
Regarding?
Fireworks.
No, I mean, I, obviously, if for some reason we did cancel the city's fireworks, you know, we can pick obviously a different date if it was rain on that. But I would, just for this, I think one suggestion was, if it's possible, obviously when it's, what was it, what's the summer solstice, John?
Summer solstice.
You know, June 21st is the longest day, so you can't have a 6 o'clock game because at 9 o'clock it's not dark enough for fireworks. But as you get later in the summer, having a 6 o'clock game, it's dark at, you know, 9 o'clock where you could have fireworks. So if you do timing-wise, you may be able to, you know, really customize your schedule. But my concern is, I think for the season ticket holders and the residents that are going to be going to, you know, all the games, they want to see fireworks, that you should give them seven,
sure,
as a promise, and just come back to us and we can pick additional dates only if one was canceled.
Sure, that makes a lot of
not
sense.
Not getting eight or anything like that, you're still getting your seven. So,
okay.
Maybe, maybe that benefits you, because then you get people that weren't going to go to a game with, but they wanted to see fireworks, and now, oh, I used to go to this one.
Yeah.
You know?
When the Brewers shoot off their fireworks, they're off the roof. And they're kind of low impact. I mean, they're not going to the maximum effect of the starburst and all that. Is there a way to kind of moderate the impact, right, of sound and visual that would be more reasonable for the neighborhood? I'm thinking there are degrees of impact.
So, I mean, frankly, I have not, I, but I'm sure Scott can probably talk.
Scott did it. He did address
that. On?
Yeah, he could.
Yeah, yeah. So we're using.
Folks in the audience, this may seem tedious, but this is really, really important, not only to the team owners, but the neighbors around it. So we're going to take our time and do this. Thanks for bearing with us.
Scott Johnson, 10234 West Stewart Lane. We did address that with shell sizing. We are not doing any salute mortars, which are those ones that don't really, they don't spread. They're just high impact, very loud fireworks. We're not doing any of those. We're limiting, like I said, to a shell size of 5 inches or less. So we're trying to mitigate the amount of noise impact from the show as much as possible. We're also limiting each show to 15 minutes rather than, you know, 20 minutes or 25 minutes.
The last time we had a young gentleman come in and talk to us about noise, studying things, I think the council members that we did for that thing and spoke to us about it, so I'm just wondering if that's still part of your thought process now as you're going into the fireworks.
As far as not disturbing during the week, is that what you're referring to? Yeah, so... the plan going forward after year one is to limit fireworks to during the week only on opening day. Everything else will be Fridays or Saturdays.
Scott, could you address what we talked about as far as the application requirement per event by the fire department?
Yeah, so we will submit, we'll be submitting a another application to the fire department for each event separately. That's per their requirement. So for each event, we will submit that separately, including anything that's rescheduled due to not being able to launch them from weather or whatnot.
And that does also help address the concerns about advertisement for a little bit, because you still have to
prepare
an application.
I do apologize.
Which if we get a lot of problems, we could then deny it. So.
Correct. Yeah, that will never... We should never run into that issue again.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you, gentlemen. G7 is an ordinance to amend the plan development
Second.
Resolution accepting a water main easement for FHCC Repacorp. Alderman Nelson. Discussion? All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item G9, we're going to skip.
Yeah.
Item G9, the motion to approve public health specialist job description.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor, signify
aye.
By saying aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Courtney. Good job. G10 is a revision to the job descriptions for the Inspection Services Department.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G11 is notification of the intent to close the recycling center. Alderman Taylor.
Just real quick question. Are you going to still stock it with mulch on the outside of the fence prior to having the gates closed on Friday night?
Okay, I'll make a motion to acknowledge a closing on Saturdays.
Alderman Willem.
So it's my understanding we're actually paying for this when we pay our garbage bill to keep that open, as it says in here, it's paid through those funds. The solid waste fund.
Denied is up and down, yes.
Okay. And then I guess I don't have a real strong feeling either way, but I do know a lot of people kind of count on that, and I don't really want to make that motion without having a little more discussion. I didn't have an opportunity to hear how many people would miss that out, because, you know, in the area where I am, I have a lot of people that have to depend on taking that stuff in because they don't, there's condos, there's
the landfill still.
We had city engineer and I had some significant discussion about this.
I just want to make one more comment that it's the furthest location to go from College Avenue to the landfill for my residents. So that's one of the reasons why I would have liked to have a little more time. It's going to pass. I'll just.
I understand that we have roughly 30 to 50 visitors on any given Saturday. Not sure that all of them are there for recycling, a lot of them are just to drop off limbs and such. And again, the landfill will have a sign to point people towards the landfill, and they actually take more things than we do at our facility. And then the amount that is being reimbursed by the solid waste Well, I mean, we still have guys go out, you know, I should say lady too, during the week to monitor room, take care of things. And so they do spend about 7 to 8 hours a week during the week on various activities that we could charge the solid waste fund. Right now, we're only charging the solid waste fund for activities or for manpower on Saturday.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Abstain.
Madam Clerk.
Aye.
Aye.
Abstain.
Aye.
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 Motion carries. 5 ayes, no noes, 1 absent, no. I'm sorry, 1 abstention, no absent. I'll move to G12. Motion to amend ordinance 2345, adopting 2019 budget to provide an appropriation of $10,500 for capital purchases and health care, funded by a grant.
Move to approve.
Second.
Alderman Whittle.
Can someone tell me how we're getting $10,500 worth of tables and chairs? They seem kind of pricey. Is there more to it than that?
Sure. So, this is Dave?
Hi.
Or Paul?
Is that what they cost?
I can speak to it.
Just quick.
Sure.
Just seems like a lot of money for tables and chairs.
I apologize, I didn't bring all the numbers with me, but it was approximately 15 tables and probably 50-some chairs. They're all portable and on wheels, so it's easier to move them around. It was meant to improve the health wing room that is sometimes an overflow room for meetings that the city has, plus the health department. That's also the emergency operations center if there was a public health emergency, so it was meant to kind of improve that. The funds were specifically for improving the emergency operations center from the state for the preparedness grant.
All right, well, if you have any leftover, we'll take the chairs.
Okay, sounds good. We have extra in there, so they can be moved around if necessary.
Health hazard right here.
I don't know that they're more comfortable than those, though.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Roll call vote for Mr. Mayor. This is a budget amendment.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Roll call, please, ma'am.
All catching it all.
It's his job, right?
Aye.
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 Aye. We're on some health insurance to the Alderwoman. She could definitely vote for it, right?
Absolutely.
Motion carries 6 ayes, no noes, no absence. No extension. G13 is the monthly financial report.
Same place on file.
Any questions?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to do Alderman Barber first. For a change. Give me your microphone.
What is the status of our impact fees at this point? Might they be lost?
The impact fees are collected and recorded in the development fund. That report has been included in your report. Connected with the development fund is a schedule of all the impact fees that have been collected by fee type so that you can see the balances that are there. The fee that you're inquiring about, I believe, is the park impact fee, Alderman.
Yes.
And currently there are $4,276,962 of park impact fees on hand. The Common Council adopted a resolution several years ago, Resolution 2016-7177, which extended the holding period of park impact fees to a total of 13 years. The September 2006 fees have not yet been spent, so we are within 90 days of the expiration of the holding period for park impact fees.
Bids for the Pleasant View Pavilion are out now, expected back. And part of that includes a payment to escrow for outbound payments, which will cover a good portion of it.
All of it?
Oh. I don't answer that because I don't.
I've not been part of that particular bid process. The fees that are expiring in calendar 2019 total approximately
$150,000, and then in the first two quarters of 2007, which would expire in early next year, that totals another mental math. I'll say something in the order of another $70,000. So there's some pretty substantial park impact fees that will be expiring in the next year that need to be spent.
That's what, 50% match?
On the Pleasant View Park Pavilion, that's a 42% match. So if that cost came in at $500,000, the impact fee was estimated at $235,000. So we would, in essence, depending on when those costs are incurred, we would cover all of the immediate requirements for park impact fees.
Well, I do know of a community garden space that was mentioned.
I don't believe there are any community gardens in the comprehensive outdoor recreation
plan. I know, but we seem to be able to amend those plans when we want to do projects that time.
Council could always amend the impact fee study.
Yes. And there is money in there to buy park land. I think that the Finance Committee put this item on here for discussion because there's been some concern about this. Alderman Nelson wasn't there, but Dandrea and I were there, and I would have called us out, so thank you, Alderman Barber, for bringing this up. I think we have to do more than just acknowledge it's here. We have to take some action on this. So I would suggest that we have some type of review of plans for each district for us to come back to the next meeting or something. I think that was the idea of the Finance Committee. Something discussed.
Alderman Barber, then, Mr. Burke.
The reason I mentioned it is that some of my constituents have talked to me about.
I'm also actively working on trying to identify a real estate agent who has a municipal planning background who we can contract with to help us with our parkland acquisition. It's been in our budgets for probably 5 years now. We've been unable to find the staff time and momentum to sort of coordinate the planning aspect with the real estate side of it, and I'm thinking that there may be some people out there who can do that. Cost for them would be eligible toward the land acquisition costs, I believe. So I've got some feelers out there right now with some actually using some attorney connections that are dealing with land acquisitions through the Foxconn area and things like that. And so one of my strategies was to help us move that land acquisition along was to bring in a third party who we could use who could do everything from work with the landowners to hold neighborhood meetings if they have to be, because I'm looking to try to find someone with that urban planning background. And that could then take it off the plate of the planning department so much, particularly with our individual who is most closely associated with the park plan going on. So I'm hoping to have some.
Is this your consultant?
No, just contract. But we're right now trying to identify some people that I could bring back to you for consideration. Just one of those things. We knew this was continuously an issue that we need to try and address. So.
And we have Mr. Musolf here from the Parks Commission. And it's a good thing he's here listening. My only thing is that we ought not rush to spend money just because we have the money and there's a piece of land available. We need to be thoughtful about this. Sorry, Alderman Nelson and Alderman Wilhelm, but putting parks on the very city line, city limits line, not sure is the best efforts for our community. Alderman Dandrea.
Just one other question.
There's this county park right there.
We've had a request that our impact fees be analyzed. Where is that Where is that process?